Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me on this, what the heck day is it? Tuesday. January 7th, 2020. Thank you guys so much for joining me. And this is the very first time in which we are doing live video. This is being recorded live as you watch it. This is going to be on delay and only available for Patreon subscribers. So thank you guys for those who have been subscribing to the show for a long time. Thank you very much. And for those of you that are brand new, welcome. And I hope you enjoy this show, because this is, as I've said in the past, this is a show by a fan for fans. So definitely want to thank everybody for their support and their critiques over the years. Thank you guys so much. And so, look, this is Monday Night Raw. Or this is the, this would have been the Monday Night Rollins show. It is now become we're on the road to WrestleMania, but it has become a mixed bag of drama with Lana and Lashley, and the Monday Night Messiah is where I was going. The Monday Night Messiah of Seth Rollins. Love that name, by the way. Love the Monday Night Messiah name, nickname. I think it's very powerful. I think that it's catchy. I like it. I'm a big fan of the Monday Night Rollins deal, and I think that it's something that could grow, and I think they're on the right path. I think for sure that Seth Rollins, I've said this before, Seth Rollins is on the right path to becoming, I think, everything that he could be as a heel, right? Because we all know Seth Rollins as a babyface simply wasn't working. He's pushing back on the fans, saying that, oh, this is you guys, you're the ones who have done this, you appointed me, and now you're blaming me. It's great stuff. Really, really good stuff by Seth Rollins. And really, the AOP, what can you say? They don't say much, but they don't need to. So we're going to get into the Seth Rollins, and we're going to get into Asuka Becky, which started to turn into a bit of a emotional roller coaster for Becky, losing a bit of her confidence in that segment, and concerned that she may not beat Asuka at the Royal Rumble. And so the first time we've seen the man vulnerable in a program since she won at WrestleMania last year. So unbelievably, we are coming up on almost a year with Becky Lynch as the Raw Women's Champion. And I think that they will run to WrestleMania with her as champion. Again, I know that some of you out there feel that Asuka could be the one to take it away from her, but why would they do that when they are just a few months away from WrestleMania? So my opinion, and I guess I'm kind of burying my prediction, but again, this is a few months out, is that Asuka loses to Becky at the Royal Rumble, and then Ronda Rousey makes her triumphant return to get her revenge, exact her revenge on Becky Lynch, in which you set up a Ronda-Becky main event for WrestleMania, well, one of the main events of WrestleMania, one-on-one for the Raw Women's Championship. Just my thought. So we're going to get into all that. We're going to get into the good, the bad, the ugly, including the Lana Lashley Rusev story that just won't die, and the fan that screamed, "This is the worst thing I've ever seen." Anybody else catch that? Oh, I loved it. Whatever fans screamed that, I want to give you a shout out here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, to say, hey, awesome job. Thank you so much for just saying exactly what needs to be said. And that is that this storyline is, it's done. It has been done since week two. So, at least in my opinion. I know viewership may dictate otherwise, but eventually, even bad TV that's so bad that people watch, so it makes it almost good, will catch up to itself and reveal its true colors as just that. An awful storyline. Awful. That is hurting everyone involved. And really, I know that many of you, oh, it's great TV. This is sports entertainment. And great, that's your prerogative. Just like this is my prerogative to say that this is terrible writing. Lana, I think, and this is insane to say, but I think I finally put my finger on why this sucks so much. Unbelievably, I'm going to say this is terrible because of Lana. And I know that she's been getting a ton of like actual hate in Twitter, on social media, actual hate. That's not my message. That's not what I am, what I'm actually trying to convey. I don't believe that. You know, I don't actually hate Lana, right? So let's first just delineate that, because I know Lana has truly been getting hate messages and actual like death threats and stuff like that. It's just nonsensical garbage. But what I'm saying is Lana's performances on the mic have been god-awful, and god-awful since day one. And I don't want to hear that, oh, it's designed to be bad. No. Because she's stumbling over words. She's not, what's the word? She's not very eloquent. She's not very well-spoken. She's kind of all over the place. She doesn't use the right words. It's just uncomfortable to watch her because you know she's struggling, but it's almost as like almost as if WWE says, "Well, she's good looking enough to overcome all the train wreck that is Lana on the mic." So we're gonna get to obviously that in more detail too, and much more, including next week's preview of Raw, which is lining up to be a pretty big show with Randy Orton, AJ Styles, Aleister Black, and Buddy Murphy back by popular demand is apparently the case. That's next week on Monday Night Raw. Oh, and I didn't even mention that Brock Lesnar is actually going to enter the Royal Rumble and win the Royal Rumble. What does that mean? Yeah, I'm going to get into those possibilities as well if he wins the Royal Rumble, which, spoiler alert, I don't think he will. So, guys, so we're going to get into all of that. I've got so much more to talk about, including giving you guys a bit of a preview of the Rumble as I start to see it come into focus now. Just 2.5 weeks away, I'm really starting to see this thing light up. And it's becoming clearer, I think, where they're going. So we're going to get into all of those things and so much more, but I just want to take a pause for the sponsor of the show, and then we will be back on the other side. And again, guys, those on video, it's just going to be a minute break because you don't have to listen to the ad, because guess what? You have an ad-free experience on patreon.com/WWE podcast. This is just going to be kind of a minute of like, hey, me chilling out. But on the other side, we're going to get to all of the content of WWE Raw and so much more. So stay right here.
Peace, prosperity, needs the family. The Kilimanjaro Tribe app is about residual income, networking, referral marketing, you promoting your service and content to the app and sharing it. For every 100 people that you sign up to the app, you get 80% of the earnings. At $10 per person every month, that means that you get $800 per month, minus Stripe service fees used for payments. No followers. Create your own group of motivated paying members to build a community that participates and unifies under spiritual, physical, mental, and economic growth. For every 100 people that you sign up to the app, you get 80% of the earnings. At $10 per person every month, that means that you get $800 per month, minus Stripe service fees used for payments. Start earning income after the 21st person that you sign up to the app. Must be a registered active company with a blog or podcast linked to your company. Every person that you get to sign up has the same opportunity to become a contractor and earn residual income just like you after 30 days. January 24th, download the app, pay your $10 membership fee, and start turning those $10 referrals into a nice monthly income to invest in your business.
And this message was sponsored by the We The Future Movement.
All right, guys, welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. And so let's just get into something that I really, but what really bothered me from Raw, and it's not so much a rant as like, what the hell's going on? And I tweeted this out immediately following the Andrade Rey Mysterio match. And I would say that this is probably just a simple miscommunication, and the referee was trying to make sure that the plan finish went into effect and was executed. And that was Andrade and Rey Mysterio at the end of the match, which, by the way, they had an amazing match. They always do. I could watch these guys, you know, forever. I mean, they gel extremely well. As Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy do, right? You could just watch them forever. So they had, a stellar match up until the last minute or two, with Rey Mysterio being accidentally launched into Zelina Vega on the outside. And you have Andrade, number one, Andrade did it because Andrade was Rey Mysterio was on the shoulders of Andrade. Andrade launched him into her. And then Rey Mysterio was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I have a wife, I have kids. And by the way, let's not forget, that's the woman that just cost you the championship a few minutes earlier by putting Andrade's leg on the rope. Yeah, let's not forget that. But Rey Mysterio gets all bent out of shape. They come in the ring, and Andrade first goes for the hammerlock DDT, and the referee breaks it up. And I'm thinking to myself, why the hell is the referee breaking it up? Doesn't make any sense. Why is the referee breaking up this the maneuver unless Rey Mysterio is truly injured? And he wasn't. Rey Mysterio just needed to go back out to act more concerned so that he can come back in, and then the reason he loses is because he's distracted by what happened to Zelina. You know, the woman that ended up costing him the championship. I know that the idea is that Rey Mysterio is the good guy, and that that he feels sympathy for hurting a woman, right? Because God forbid there's any male on female contact in WWE. I mean, it just is prohibited. No matter how many times a woman screws over the man, or physically attacks a man, or slaps him, or kicks him in the nuts, or does whatever, the man just can't retaliate, which is total lunacy in my eyes. Especially in the world of professional wrestling, you know, the environment that isn't real, right? But they have sponsors, and they have people that they have a younger audience, and oh, we don't want to make sure that people don't think we're promoting domestic violence. It's a bunch of horse, you know what, right? I mean, that is a whole show and a whole rant that I've been on way too many times, so I'm going to stop there. But again, Rey Mysterio looking like a fool, and then gets his mask ripped away, and Andrade claims that he has basically dethroned and humiliated Rey Mysterio. So this program's not over, right? This program is not over by any means, and I'm fine with that, because Rey Mysterio and Andrade is a story you could tell for months. I mean, you just could. And so I also like the fact that they aren't splitting Zelina and Andrade. And you could say, oh, well, they showed cracks out a few weeks ago. And yeah, they did. And I think they decided not to, and they went the other way. I think that may have been the plan. And then once they decided to put the United States Championship on him, they said, hey, he's going to need a manager. He's going to need somebody to make sure he continues to win. As a heel, you have to have help. And not all the time, but in this case, I think Zelina and Andrade work so damn well together that it just wouldn't make sense for them to split them. But nonetheless, Rey Mysterio loses, as expected. Andrade retains the championship. I think Andrade is positioned for big things in 2020. And I love the match. Just outside the finish, which was just ridiculous. I mean, tell me anybody tell me how that finish made sense. And I would just chalk it up to the simple fact that they had a miscommunication, and the finish, the referee wanted to make sure that he the true finish actually happened. So I'll chalk it up to that. The other thing, so the next thing on my mind, as I'm going a little bit out of order, but that's, again, some of you love that, some of you hate it. I've got such mixed feedback on that. I mean, I've had people get all bent out of shape because I went segment by segment in a show. Like, I mean, I gave my show my initial thoughts about some big ticket items at the beginning of the show, and then people go, oh, what are you doing? Why are you going segment by segment? Well, here's the thing. Number one, it's my damn show, right? My show. So I run things the way I want to run them, right? And number two, I'm covering everything that I can going segment by segment. If I just use my brain to navigate me through the events of Monday Night Raw, I'm not going to cover everything. And some people love when I cover everything that happened on Raw. So, short of it is, my show, baby. I call the shots. If you don't like that I do things segment by segment, you may have to live with it some weeks because that's what I do. I go off the cuff and I go with what I feel in that at that time. So I just wanted to give you guys that I don't always follow that same format of segment by segment. But anyway, moving on. The other thing I want to talk about, the big ticket item, is Brock Lesnar entering himself in the Royal Rumble. Now, I know that in the past, Roman Reigns has put his championship on the line in the Royal Rumble match. And I thought that's where they were going to go. And Paul Heyman cut a brilliant promo again. Paul Heyman just continues to light it up on the mic. Just, I mean, this guy has a gift of gab. And he ends up telling everybody that Brock's going to enter the Rumble at number one. And that he's going to win the Royal Rumble match. Now, the one big question he didn't answer. What happens when he wins? Again, if this plan happens, and if this is your plan, what happens when Brock wins the Royal Rumble? I thought he was going to go by the arrogant notion that no one deserves to be in the main event of WrestleMania. No one is worthy of being in the main event of WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar except Brock Lesnar. So Brock Lesnar would make it Brock versus Brock at WrestleMania. And that's what I thought he was going to say. But my assumption would be that you have Brock versus The Fiend, because that would be the other championship that he could go after, the top belt. I highly, highly doubt that that's how they're going to go. Very unlikely Brock wins the Rumble. I would say it's like a 50-1 odds that Brock wins the Rumble. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes it until the last, you know, 5-6 guys. And there's going to be some damn cool moments in the Royal Rumble match with Brock Lesnar in it. If very interested to see who number two is, I would assume that Brock's going to hang in there for quite a while. And whoever he eliminates or eliminates him likely will face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. It's very likely, probably a big name, maybe Edge. I don't know. Edge is rumored to be coming back. It's no secret. It's the worst kept secret in WWE right now that Edge is apparently training to come back. He delivered a spear a number of months ago on SmackDown, and that was the first thing he has done physically in WWE since he retired back in 2011 against Alberto Del Rio in a main event WrestleMania match. So my assumption is, I mean, could it be Edge? I don't know if you want all those Germans on Edge, but, and I don't even know how you would get that to be Edge versus Brock. I mean, I'm really going off the cuff here. I'm just trying to think of how this plays out with Brock in the Rumble. I don't think any of us expected Brock Lesnar to be in the Royal Rumble match. And that's not a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing by any means. I think it's intriguing as hell with so many big names in there. And you know immediately who's going to be number one. This whole Royal Rumble match is shaping up to be intriguing as hell because you have potential returns. Edge being number one. The everlasting rumor of CM Punk making his return in the Royal Rumble match, which I think is highly unlikely, but not in the realm of impossibility, right? So you have that. You have Roman Reigns entering. And that doesn't exclude guys that are in any other match on the show. I've said this before. I said this on the show with Mary last week, is that, hey, don't count out people that are already in matches. Don't count them out. They're not excluded from the Royal Rumble match. But by the way, how do you get in the Royal Rumble match? Are there qualifications? Do you have to have a certain resume, a certain win-loss record? Do you have to have, should you have held a championship in the past? Do you have to be tenured in WWE? Do you have to ask management? Nope, nope, none of that. The only thing you have to do, the only method to get into the Royal Rumble match, is simply to declare it. You just declare it. That's it. You just say it, and you're in. It's silly. And I understand Brock is a shoe-in, and he's deserving, and he's the most decorated athlete in WWE, as, I don't know, somebody said, Vic Joseph or somebody on Raw. It might have even been Jerry. I said that Brock Lesnar is the most decorated athlete in WWE history. Really? Beyond Undertaker, Austin, Rock, Triple H. I wouldn't go that far. Nonetheless, I guess these little things get to me. But again, all you have to do is declare it. If any of you have seen The Office, it was when Michael Scott went broke and stood in the office and said, "I declare bankruptcy." And he thought that that was how you declare bankruptcy. It felt a little like that. Royal Rumble season always feels like that. It just feels like Michael Scott standing in a room saying he declares things. And you just say it and then you are, right? I guess that's just how it is. And it's I know that you can't have a tournament. You can't have a championship or a match for every spot in the Rumble. I understand that. But maybe you have a battle royal of sorts where the last five guys standing are, you could do it in mass, are qualified for the Royal Rumble match. There have been Royal Rumble qualifier matches in the past. It's a thing. It's happened. Just like King of the Ring, right? And I don't want to see, again, the logic of WWE sometimes is a little bit backwards. Attack a champion and you get a championship match. Declare that, you just say that you're in a match and you're in a match. I don't know. And all you have to do, by the way, if you're not at the Rumble match, here's a simple strategy for y'all. Just kind of hide in gorilla, attack that person from behind, and then just take their spot. That's it. Yeah, that's all you do. It's fairly simple. It's really actually really, really, really simple to win the Royal Rumble. You know how you win the Royal Rumble? If common sense actually was a thing, you would wait till number 30. You would wait for them to come out. You attack them from behind, take them out. That means you instantaneously earn their spot. And then you just kind of hang out the ring. You can hide under the ring. You can hang outside the ring. Just wait for everybody else to eliminate one another. And then it's just down to you and one other person. That's all you do. That way you get a 50-50 shot. That is how you win the Royal Rumble every single time, foolproof. Yeah. I know I just took all the fun out of the Royal Rumble match for everyone. But when you apply common sense to this match, just as if you applied common sense to a ladder match, right, where guys suddenly can't climb a ladder even though they're world-class athletes, they can't get up that ladder to get the championship, or cage matches when they open the door and suddenly they're, you know, it's like they're in quicksand or in mud and they can't move their feet to just simply walk out a door. I mean, some of these things, I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize, guys, if I'm taking the fun out of wrestling for you right now. But sometimes it's a glaring asshole. Ooh, that was an interesting combination of words. I didn't mean it like that. It's a glaring hole. How about that? I didn't mean it in a cuss word. That was kind of funny. I didn't mean it like that. It's a glaringly big hole. Okay? So, that's really funny. Let's move on here. Let's get into a little bit more of the Monday Night Raw show. Some of the other big things that happened. We had the Street Profits versus the OC and the Viking Raiders for the Tag Team Championships. This match surprised me in its quality. And you may say, why? These are all great athletes. Yeah, well, they haven't got a whole lot of time on Raw in the last couple of months. The Viking Raiders, since they've won, have been kind of in hiding, right? The Street Profits, thank God they're not backstage acting like obnoxious jerks, just standing, you know, parallel to each other, facing the camera, yet talking to each other like everyone does, and acting like, you know, they're there to just talk nonsensical crap about everything that's going on in WWE. I like that they're not doing that shtick anymore and they're actually competing in the ring. The Viking Raiders are still champions, obviously, after after Carl Anderson took the fall, and I'm fine with that. The announcers stressed to the max about how the OC are the only ones to hold victories over the Viking Raiders. That's an important point to make. I like that they drove that home. That was, I think, it was important because it shows that the Viking Raiders are a strong team, and that for whatever reason, the OC have their number, except for, obviously, last night. So that, I think, was a good point to drive home. The other thing is, the Street Profits. Did anyone really believe that they were going to win? No. It really was essentially a standard tag team match between Viking Raiders and the OC in terms of the two teams you believe that could win this. But it's important for the Street Profits to get in there, to get in the mix, to make them feel like they are the true players in the game, and to have a good showing. That was important for them. That's what they were there for. It makes total sense. I loved this match. I thought it was very well done. I didn't have any issues with this match. It was it really was good. I mean, from top to bottom. The only thing is, hey, Vic Joseph, every time someone makes a tag, I don't need to hear you say tag. I have eyes. Okay. This isn't radio. I can see with my eyes if someone makes a tag. I understand if you do it once in a while, someone else could be talking and that guy just goes, tag. Thanks, Vic. Thanks. It makes Michael Cole seem desirable through all of his, it's boss time and it's the big dog and all that nonsense. I swear he does that just to piss off fans, or he's directed to say it every time. I don't know, but I could go on a rant about that for an hour, and I'm not going to do it because it's 10:15, 10:20 right now at night, and I have to get up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I'm going to conserve my energy. My son's also sleeping, so I'm going to make sure that I don't wake him up either. All right, certain things are worth yelling. That is not, because I have yelled about it to the nth degree. All right. Eric Rowan also won a match, by the way. Eric Rowan versus KJ Orso. I think that's how I said his name, right? He had the cage again. I don't think WWE management know what is in that cage. I don't think anybody knows yet. It's just kind of like, hey, why don't you just carry around this thing with a birdcage with a rug or a cloth over it, and we'll figure out later what it is. It'll just interest people, and maybe it'll, you know, draw some interest, and it's the mystery. It'll keep people hanging. No, it's not. I'm not that interested in it. Eric Rowan is a character. I know they tried to do something with him over the summer and give him the opportunity, and it just never took off. It never took off because we didn't want it to be Eric Rowan who attacked Roman Reigns. We all wanted it to be Daniel Bryan behind the whole thing, and it wasn't. And Eric Rowan just, he's never caught on. And it's not to say he can't ever catch on, but I don't know if he'll ever be at that level again in the main event with Roman Reigns. I don't think so. I really don't. Okay, AJ Styles versus Akira Tozawa was an interesting matchup from the perspective of it was essentially a squash match, which I know why they did it. It was to simply, it was to simply, I hate saying the corporate language, send a message. We all have to send messages, right? I'm just going to have, just have all the wrestlers show up to the show and have a table out there the second they walk in. So when they come in the door, just have an envelope, have some stamps, and then have a piece of paper and some pens and pencils. That way, they can all send messages to each other as much as the announcers say that they're sending messages to each other, and that way that they are truly living up to sending messages, because apparently everything that ever happens in WWE is a sending a message or making a statement, right? That's it's their two favorite go-to platitudes that they say every single effing week. And this particular segment was especially nauseating only from the perspective of the announcers. I like what AJ Styles did. I liked him mocking Randy Orton, using his maneuvers. Akira Tozawa getting squashed. I mean, when you look at the hierarchy of Raw, it makes sense. But when you look at the ability of the two guys and the ability of those two who could have an outstanding match, the way that that played out, you'd go, right? You kind of like cringe at the possibilities of what it could have been had the story not been dictating that AJ squashed Akira Tozawa. So, I mean, I know why they did it, but I also like that Randy Orton took the week off and we didn't see Randy. That's good. Fine with me. I'm good with it. I'm sure the live crowd was waiting for an RKO. I'm happy that Randy took the week off. I mean, there's only so much they can do with these two guys right now with Orton and with AJ, but they'll be facing each other next week. So big Raw. What's happening is WWE is getting their individual programs out of the way so that it can make room for everyone who's available to come into the Royal Rumble match. They are trying to make the Rumble match huge this year. I mean, this just what they're doing. And I also think part of it is, damn, we have had 6 weeks to build these programs, and I don't know what else to do. Let's just give them the match that we would have given them at the pay-per-view slot at this point, right? Because this would have been the four-week mark. This is 4 weeks in. We still have 2 weeks to go from the last pay-per-view, and typically 3 to 4 weeks, there's a pay-per-view. And the writers just probably wrote to the fourth week and go, they got to have the match now. What's next, right? So there's a little bit of that and a little bit of let's get the matches that we've been building to for the last few weeks out of the way now so that we can truly build to the Royal Rumble and put these guys in the Rumble match instead of going, hey, you've been building these guys in a program together. Why aren't they in a match? Well, let's get that out of the way and then we can focus on the bigger task at hand, which is the Rumble match itself. So that's what I think they're doing. But overall, again, AJ squashing to Akira, fine. I mean, I'm fine with it from the storyline perspective only. And so that's a good thing. And don't worry, guys, he sent that message. He sent the message and he made statements and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. That kind of stuff really, really, I don't know. Because it's just the reason that I kind of go off on this stuff is because I don't like corporate language that is drilled into people's heads. Like, here are just a few examples of the phrases that you hear every single Monday night. And really every Friday night now. You hear, just every time, big dog. You hear boss time. You hear making a statement. You hear sending a message. I would like those four phrases to just go off and die. Just a slow, painful death. I also, like WWE Universe, everyone is forced to say WWE Universe. You can't say fans. Yeah, no, fans have gone away. Fans don't exist anymore. We're all just out there in the ether floating around the universe, making up this WWE sphere, right? That's just what we are now. We're just in the WWE sphere floating out there in space. And that's just what we are. We're no longer fans. Fans have taken the train and they've gone away. We are now part of the universe. It's such a corporately created stomach churning phrase that I don't know. It embodies what I dislike about the PG corporate era. It is just this incessant need to just latch onto a phrase and make sure it's said every single time, like monster among men. Really? Was he a monster when he was dancing with the New Day, who are more concerned about making pancakes every week and pouring syrup on them than actually winning. And so Braun Strowman joins in and like a fool. And, I mean, come on. I don't know. So here's where I'm going to go off the rails, but I'm going to catch myself. I'm going to take a breath. We're going to take a break. And again, for those of you on the live stream who have seen me on and are going to watch me on Patreon, exclusively on Patreon, you don't have to hear those ads, right? So if you're interested in hearing an ad-free version, you just head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, and you can get a video podcast for the very first time on Patreon. It will be exclusive there. I won't be videoing every single show, but I will be doing a video at least once a week on one of my shows. So, all right. Well, I'm going to take a break, and then we'll be back on the other side.
Prosperity needs a family. The Kilimanjaro Tribe app is about residual income, networking, referral marketing, you promoting your service and content to the app, and sharing it. For every 100 people that you sign up to the app, you get 80% of the earnings. At $10 per person every month, that means that you get $800 per month, minus Stripe service fees used for payments. No followers. Create your own group of motivated paying members to build a community that participates and unifies under spiritual, physical, mental, and economic growth. For every 100 people that you sign up to the app, you get 80% of the earnings. At $10 per person every month, that means that you get $800 per month, minus Stripe service fees used for payments. Start earning income after the 21st person that you sign up to the app. Must be a registered active company with a blog or podcast linked to your company. Every person that you get to sign up has the same opportunity to become a contractor and earn residual income just like you after 30 days. January 24th, download the app, pay your $10 membership fee, and start turning those $10 referrals into a nice monthly income to invest in your business.
And this message was sponsored by the We The Future Movement.
All right, welcome back. And let's continue with the Monday Night Raw review. But before I do, I want to let you guys know about the schedule remaining for this week. Tomorrow, Ashley joins me. And I know that you guys have been looking forward to that. So she will be with me tomorrow night as we have our wrestling discussion. And I don't even know where it's going to go. You know, normally I have a wrestling nostalgia on Wednesday. Maybe we'll do a little nostalgia. Maybe we'll talk about what's going on now. We'll see. We'll see. It's always a great conversation with her. So I'm going to leave it up to fate to decide. And then Thursday, of course, is your AEW Dynamite Aftershock review with Zach Perez. And then on Friday will be your NXT review, and that'll be coming to you from Chris with our WWE podcast team. If you guys, and then Saturday will be your regularly scheduled program with a co-host talking about WWE Week in Review. A couple of notes here. If you are interested in producing a podcast under this feed, send me a DM at the WWE podcast on Twitter, or you can email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. And what I'm looking to find is someone with previous audio experience, somebody that loves wrestling, gotta love wrestling, otherwise why do it? And is available to do a show once a week. Their own show, they can do their own intro, they can run it how they want to run it. Maybe it's just an alternative perspective on the product. I know we cover all bases in terms of every promotion, and we have a nostalgia segment, all that. But maybe you want to do your own nostalgia segment. Maybe you want to give an alternate perspective on the show this week, or bring up points I didn't bring up, whatever. Hit me up at the realwwepodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at the WWE podcast. You can also hit me up there. I'll probably be asking for an audio sample. It is an unpaid position, at least for the time being. And so if you're interested, hit me up. I'm looking for one more show. The reason I'm looking for one more show, I have 6 shows right now. Why not make it an even 7 for every day of the week? So that's the reason for it. Plus, I know you guys love content, and you can't have enough content. And I know many of you take me with you to work or school in some cases, or when you're just lounging around the house. And I appreciate that, and I want to be able to give you a new voice, and maybe I'll create my own show. But right now, 3 shows with me on them every week is about my max right now in terms of my free time, i.e. why I'm recording this at 10:30 at night on a Tuesday night. Normally, I am sleeping right now. Obviously, I'm not. I'm here with you, and I'm here with you because we love WWE. All right. So, then we get to, I'm trying to go to a good thing before I get to the not so good. Drew McIntyre versus No Way Jose. Drew McIntyre wins. It's a good thing. I just, No Way Jose had, you know, less than a zero chance of winning. No Way Jose is just Adam Rose in 2020. That's it. And it's a damn shame what they've done with No Way Jose, who's just a glorified jobber at this point. Drew McIntyre wins. He continues to squash matches. And by the way, if you guys haven't seen Drew McIntyre, his new... he was on, what was it? Not 365. Seth Rollins was on 365 on the network, which was very good, by the way. Very good. Drew McIntyre has his own... It's only like a 15-minute show on the WWE Network. I'm going to try to pull it up on my phone here. Those of you on video here, bear with me as I know I'm looking at my phone. If you want to get more of a insight into Drew McIntyre, oh, it's called Break It Down. Break It Down with Drew McIntyre. It's only 15, 20 minutes, but it gives more of a humanized version of Drew McIntyre from his initial push in WWE in the 2000s, where he was the chosen one, to TNA Impact, back to NXT, becoming champion, and then back into WWE. So it's quite a quick, abbreviated version of his story in wrestling, and I'm a huge fan of this guy. I know many of you are saying, oh, turn him face, turn him baby face. Yeah, I think he could be a good face, but right now, I still haven't seen the full-blown heel run that he could have. I feel like there's a big run into him in there, and we just haven't seen it. Nonetheless, anyway, so I would recommend you guys check that out. But back to Monday Night Raw, Aleister Black versus Shelton Benjamin. Aleister Black wins again. I mean, Aleister Black is just right now on a tear. I don't even know if Aleister Black has lost a match since he's done his whole, whoever wants to knock, I'm going to fight you or whatever. The interesting part of this match, yes, Aleister Black won, obviously, but after the match, Buddy Murphy attacked Black from behind and beat him down. He takes Black to the outside and slams him into the timekeeper's area, then hits a running knee to the face, grabs a steel chair, and stalks Black. Murphy tried to knee the steel chair into Black's face, but Black is down, and the ref calls for help. So, again, that's what's set up next week, but back by popular demand. Yeah, which is true. But I thought, and I've said this, and I'm going to back it up, that after Aleister Black hit Black Mass twice, clean, beat Buddy Murphy, the heel, and he didn't just beat him with two Black Masses, he also beat him at TLC. Why the hell are these two facing each other again? Because the fans love it. And look, I respect that. Just from a storyline perspective, this thing should be over, but all right. So another good thing I liked, which was the main event, and I'll talk about that before something I don't like. I'm gonna give you guys some good stuff here. Seth Rollins in the AOP versus Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, and a mystery partner. In the mystery partner, I'm thinking, nah, it can't be CM Punk, right? Can't be. And it wasn't. It wasn't. You wouldn't re-debut one of your hottest potential stars, and potential biggest return of all time at a Monday Night Raw in Oklahoma City in the middle of January. You just don't do that. But I knew it had to be a big name, and you know it has to be a big name because of the fact that it's in the main event, and there's only 7 minutes to do the main event, so it's going to be somebody big. And I was thinking, well, it might be Humberto Carrillo, and I'm thinking, well, no, they replayed that whole package of him getting DDT'd on the concrete from Andrade, so it wouldn't make sense for him to get involved with AOP and Seth. I couldn't think, honestly, of who it was going to be, and lo and behold, it's the Big Show, which I think he got his biggest reaction of his entire career. This is an example of distance makes the heart grow fonder, and certainly with the Big Show, the fans embraced him, and from all the days of the Authority and him and Kane, all that stuff when the Big Show was involved with the Authority and getting booed, and it was just, oh my God, the Big Show again. Amazing what just some time off will do. And again, they said that he hasn't been on Raw in 2 years. I believe it. At least in a wrestling capacity, I believe it. And it was good to see him back. It felt nostalgic. He isn't obviously as quick as he was. Not that he was ever a jackrabbit in the ring. But he certainly was serviceable. and was in a big full sweat before he even got the tag in. I mean, before he even got the hot tag, it looked like he ran, you know, like 6-7 miles. That was pretty funny. He was in a full ass sweat, and it was just funny. But the Big Show comes in, gets a hot tag, puts the heels down. Eventually, Seth comes in with a steel chair, hits Big Show for the disqualification. And then AOP and Seth go on their beat down of everybody tear until Seth gets KO'd by the WMD, weapon of mass destruction, by the way. Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe were just kind of in the background this week. And I know that maybe, you know, you can't have it hot every week, but it felt like a little bit of a cool down for Seth or for Samoa Joe and KO. This was more about the Big Show's return, and I don't know how long Big Show physically is going to be involved here. I would think probably just an entrant. He'll take up an entrance in the Royal Rumble. You know, he'll come out, maybe clear the ring, and then get eliminated. I think that's what it's really here for, is just like a 3-week contract. That's really it. So, interesting, though. I mean, it was a good segment. I would say it was a good segment this week with Seth, AOP, and Samoa Joe and KO. But it wasn't what it was last week. It was just kind of like, okay. Like, I mean, it progressed things, but this was more about the Big Show return, which overshadowed everything. Not that he's a mega, mega star, and not that he will be getting that massive positive reaction he did this week, next week, or the week after. But certainly, this progressed the storyline and was good. Again, I'd give it like a B-, C+. Like, it was okay to good. And I'm fine with that, because it did what it needed to do. It main evented Raw on top of it, and it served its purpose. I'll leave it at that, because I don't want to repeat myself anymore. So that's another thing I liked, was the main event of Monday Night. So here we get to the thing that I wasn't a big fan of, right? This Lashley, Lana, Rusev, career-killing angle that all these men and women are involved in, that's becoming so convoluted. So, this is, I don't even know what this is anymore. I just don't know. I don't know. So the wedding official came out, and he officially married Lashley and Lana, which, by the way, I mentioned this too on Sunday with Mary Grader. Pretty sure that you don't need to have somebody there in order to actually get married. You sign the marriage license, you have a witness, and you call it a day. So why would they risk somebody else coming out to interrupt if that was truly, that ceremony is truly dependent on its completion to be married? Why would you risk going out there for more drama instead of just doing it privately if you truly wanted to get married? Again, I shouldn't apply this common sense as I did at the beginning of the show, but common sense sometimes just overshadows all the illogical things that happen. Anyway, so Lana comes out and does her usual weird choice of words and her uncomfortable promo and screaming. And then you have Rusev appear on the screen saying he's at the beach, which I don't know if they were truly trying to make us feel like he was at the beach. It was clearly a green screen. I would hope WWE isn't trying to truly make us feel that Rusev was at the beach. Okay, please. But he's there and says that they think everyone else is miserable, but it seems like Lana and Lashley are the most miserable people in the arena. And he forgot to give them a wedding present, so he put together a wedding album, which was just video highlights of the ruined wedding from the ceremony last week. And Lana screams at Rusev that she hates him and ruins everything. It's terrible. Lana is terrible on the mic. She is responsible for a lot of why I don't like this. I don't care how good looking she is or how nice her body and her curves fit into the latest tight dress or whatever, or the whatever push-up bra she's wearing. That to me isn't enough to offset her terrible choice of words and her uncomfortable promos. So anyway, Moving on as with this segment here, Lana screams, and again, Lashley tells Lana to shut up. And the crowd silenced themselves for that and popped a little bit. And then he called out Rusev now. Lashley says if Rusev has any balls, he should show up to Raw next week so Lashley can rip them off and shove them down his throat. And that Rusev says he will return next week, but he will be doing the unspeakable things to Lashley. So they're going to go in and have a match, I guess. And how in the hell can I forget this? Next week, we are having a fist fight with Seth Rollins, AOP, KO, Samoa Joe, and assumingly the Big Show. It's a fist fight. You know, as opposed to the other just traditional chain wrestling matches, we're going to have a good old-fashioned fist fight. What in the hell could that possibly... I'm scared. I don't know. I don't even know to make of that. I know I'm prejudging it before it's actually executed. I get it. Really? That's what we're going with now? A fist fight? Oh, boy. I'm nervous. I mean, there's a fist in every single match. Every single wrestling match since about 2000, there has been an actual fist. Again, we're not actually throwing true fists. I get it. I'm talking about since the perception that people are punching each other in wrestling matches was a thing, there has not been a break from that. So I don't know what this fist fight could mean. I have no idea. The Becky Asuka segment, I thought was good as well. It served its purpose, I think. Interesting choice of an outfit for Becky in that yellow jumpsuit she was in or whatever. I mean, I'm not dissing it. It was just interesting, and it certainly stood out to me. Asuka came out and did her usual two words of English here and there, mostly screaming in her native language, and then us going, huh, what? You said Becky. Oh, got it. Okay, you said Becky. And then, oh, wait, I got the word you. I don't know what the hell you're saying anymore. And then Becky just lays her out with a punch and leaves. I'm looking forward to this match. That's not what I'm really looking forward. This could be a show stealer. I really think that these two have that kind of chemistry. They have the history. And I think they have the ability to do it. So I'm really looking forward to this match at the Royal Rumble for the Raw Women's Championship. That's not the problem. So I'll praise them on that. As terrible as Asuka's promo abilities are, they will make up for it. She will make up for it in her in-ring ability at the Royal Rumble. So why continue to run Asuka out there? Is the idea that she's a heel and it's obnoxious that she's speaking in her language and that we're supposed to like her, dislike her because of that? Well, wouldn't we dislike Rey Mysterio, who does the same damn thing? I mean, Rey Mysterio does it on a weekly basis. And sometimes after he speaks in Spanish, he'll translate whatever he just said into English. Although he really didn't this week. It's obnoxious when they do that. I mean, who do they think the majority of their fans watching are, right? United States, English-speaking citizens. That's just a fact. But we have Asuka come out there. And if the idea is to make her heel doing that, well, she did that as a babyface and it was super obnoxious and just... It was annoying to the point of learn some effing English. And I don't mean that in, oh, you should learn our language or leave the country. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you want to like build your brand and be a successful pro wrestler and market yourself, wouldn't you want to learn the language better? I mean, it just makes money sense. I really don't know her extent of the English language, but it can't be very vast. It can't be large. Her English language is just... I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. If I was in my... I don't know. If I was in Italy, right? And I live there. I am a pro wrestler in Italy, and they have a massive promotion. And I know that 90% of the people watching understand Italian, but I still speak English and people don't know what the hell I'm talking about. shouldn't I just learn the language a bit and be able to communicate with the people that are watching me? Instead of just relying on, it's okay, you can speak in your native language. You're a heel, it'll piss them off that you think you're better than them by speaking in your language, and they're annoyed that they can't understand what you're saying, and they feel stupid because they don't know your language. No. That's a lazy analysis. That's lazy thinking. That is a short-term cop-out for being able to market yourself in a higher level by understanding their language and speaking their language. So I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the old adage of, they're the foreigner. They're the evil foreigner. They're speaking. No. Stupid. I don't care if you do it and then maybe have a great English promo beyond it. Like, again, Rey Mysterio does this in most cases, speaks in his language and then speaks in English and basically translates what he just said. I don't know. Just some food for thought. But anyway, I'm looking forward to this match. Becky's kind of just doing her thing, and fans still love her. So, all right. Well, that's my Raw analysis for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, we are officially, in my eyes, on the road to WrestleMania. Royal Rumble is just a few short weeks away, 2.5 weeks. So that's coming up real quick. Looking forward to that. And those of you that are on the live stream watching, or are watching this in delay or on delay, thank you so much. I realize that as you're watching this, I have the image mirrored, so my logo on the back is actually flipped, so it looks like it's backwards, but it just because I didn't put my damn camera the right way, and I will flip the script and get it facing the right way. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching. Yes, watching. Those of you on Patreon are the only ones that can watch at this point. I may be bringing video eventually to the website and maybe eventually to the Apple Podcast feed. But for now, it is going to be a exclusive to Patreon. So keep that in mind. And guys, I want to thank you for listening and watching. And I'll be back tomorrow with Ashley to cover, you know, who knows, current product, little nostalgia, probably a rant in there somewhere. Of course, and lots more good stuff. And again, you know the schedule for the rest of the week. Again, if you want to be a part of this show and have your own podcast on this show, in other words, on this feed, do your own show, hit me up at the WWE Podcast on Twitter or realwwepodcast@gmail.com if you want to get yourself on this podcast and deliver your own content. I'd love to have you be a part of the show and be a part of the WWE Podcast family as this show continues to grow and ascend in the rankings. Alrighty, well, guys, thank you so much for watching, so much for listening, and as always, I'll talk to you next time.